Before I start talking, I need to remind everybody, if a question arises, don't just not ask it for two reasons. One is you're going to be thinking about your question the whole time. Should I ask or should I not? So you're going to be in your mind thinking. So that's one of the reasons. And number two is because the reason why we don't ask something is because we think that our question is not relevant to others. But I have never sat in any class with any teacher in which somebody didn't ask a question that in some way was relevant to all of us. So please do ask questions if they arise. And with that, I'll start asking if there are any questions. So I'm going to start with something that we spoke about last week and that it resonated with several people, which is Anthony de Mello's quote, enlightenment is the absolute cooperation with the inevitable. Because what is what is before we think about what is, right? That's what is. What is whatever is happening before we think about it, before we actually formulate a thought and tell ourselves a story about it. So we get to the traffic light, and there's just a red traffic light, right? Which the light turns red, and that's all you have. You stopped, and the traffic light turned red. Yet what we tell ourselves about it is what is not real. I'm going to be late. I can't believe I'm going to be late. It's the second day I'm going to be late. It happened because I had to stop and get that coffee, and that fucking store never had the coffee that I want, and blah, 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 blah. And something that was just a red light, and you stop turning to all this thing about what is going to happen and the past, right? So it's this thinking, and it goes on and on and on and on. So again, another example is like the squirrel. So the squirrel crosses the street, and if you attempt to like squirrels, then you go, oh, so cute, where is the squirrel going, right? Oh, so cute, or whatever, you know, that squirrel looks sick, or whatever is the story that you're telling, but it's just a squirrel crossing the street. And it happens with every single thing that we see. So you're watching a sunset, and it's not about the sunset. The sunset, the moment you see the sunset, the moment you turn around and see the sun, and it's these beautiful colors, that's what is. But then you start telling yourself stories about it. I should take a picture. I wish so-and-so could see it. Maybe I should call them and let them know that they should get it. Have you look out? Have you seen the moon rising? And it's this beautiful moon, and you're thinking, who are you going to share that with? Mm-hmm. See? And it took you out of reality. You know, so reality was there, and it took you out of reality immediately. So it's all about the stories that we tell, and we believe them. Right? So we believe the stories that we tell ourselves. So enlightenment is the cooperation with the inevitable. Because what is happening is the inevitable, right? What is happening at any moment is the inevitable. The moment is happening, it is already started, it's already arising. Yet our mind, if doesn't like or fears in any way what is happening, then immediately wants to stop it. So this moment shouldn't be like this. The traffic light should not be red. I should be going to the office. You know, so this is when the fight against what is happening starts. It is not the way it's supposed to be. So it's kind of like arrogant, right? It's like, I know better. I know better. The fucking traffic light should not be red. As if I have the power to change something, you know? Or that person should not have said what they said to me. She's a bitch. Should not have said that to me, right? And it's incredible, and she should not be saying that. And then you get into the fight, blah 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 blah, blah, right? So it's like ESPN. It's as if you have PTI in your head, and both of them are talking at the same time. You have the two versions, PTI, the show, and ESPN, or any other show in ESPN, will not exist if both of the presenters agreed with each other, because then they will say, "Wow, that was a nice play." Yes, it was. End of the show, right? End of the show. Yes, you're right. Very good. Bye. So there has to be disagreement. There has to be this constant disagreement about what is going on. And like, I don't like, yes I like, I don't agree with you. That's what happens in our head. It's all an inside job. It's all an inside job. You're sitting, sipping a very nice, peaceful cup of tea, and in your head you're going on and on and on and on about how so-and-so is a bitch, and she should have not done that, and I should have said this when she said that. And it's all an inside job. In the meantime, you are sitting watching this beautiful sunset, sipping a very peaceful cup of coffee, but there is no peace there. There is absolutely no peacefulness there. Mm-hmm. Because where we go is the stories that we tell and we believe. So I think last week we started with this, but if not, then we are today. What we are, is the space where everything is occurring, where everything is arising. So the moment something arises and happens, it is already happening. It is already happening. That's what we are. And then our mind gets in it, which is part of the suit. Our mind is part of the suit, right? This suit, and gets in it. And immediately goes, oh, I don't like that. That shouldn't be happening. But what we are is just that in which everything is arising, in which everything is happening. Be blank, for those that are new to the class. Hello, Kitty. So, what we are is a space, it's nothing, it's really nothing. Yeah, you're nothing. You like that.
I know you like it, Kathy, it rocks you.
So, what we are is nothing, absolutely nothing. Yet we are at the same time everything. Because imagine that what we are is like a blanket, right? So God, creator, universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, is like a blanket. So here is the blanket, nothing, arising as Angela, and it gets this suit with this personality and my mind and my ego and my body, everything. And then it arises as Elaine, with her personality and her ego and her mind and her thoughts and all that stuff. And it arises as the tree, and it arises as the chair, and it arises as everything. So from where I am, I look at Elaine and we're separate. We're different. We're totally different. We're totally separate, right? We're different. Yet in essence, we are the same thing. Because we both are that space, that nothing, that arises as Angela or arises as Elaine. So while I am here, I am that essence, that nothingness, with this suit. It's kind of like the two sides of my hand. You know, I can't separate my palm from this part of my hand. They're one. They're one. Wherever one goes, the other one goes. Always, they're one. So I am as much a spirit as I am having the suit. Does this make sense so far? Any questions? Yes.
What do you mean by the suit?
The suit, the body.
The body.
The body. The body. The ego. The ego is. That's a good question. So the body, and the body, the human body, comes with a mind, and. The mind, the right words. So there is an ego, and the ego is a construct, it's an energetic, it's nothing really, it's an energetic construct of thoughts and ideas and beliefs and all that stuff, and it's constantly moving. It requires movement. If the ego is not moving, that's why thoughts are constantly coming and going. If the ego is not moving, and there is a moment in which there is no movement, then it drops, which is our awakening. It's that second in which the ego is not moving. So what we do what we do in these classes and what you do and what I teach, is for us to become still enough so the movement of the ego has the opportunity to become still. Because the ego is just that, it's ideas and beliefs. It's never constant, never constant. So let me go back to something that I was talking at the beginning, and I'll come right to that subject because it's actually a really good for one for today. So remember, what I am is that nothingness, right? That space, nothing. Nothing. It's space, it's the space between the things, it's nothing. And everything is occurring in what I am. So thoughts come and go in what I am. Nobody can tell you where the thoughts are. At the beginning, I thought my thoughts were in my head, and then the more I paid attention to my thoughts, I realized my thoughts are really not inside my head. They're things that come and go. Have you noticed that? Has somebody noticed that about it? They're just things that come and go, and you can't pinpoint where they are. They're just, it starts at some point, and it disappears, and then another one comes and goes. So what I am is not my thoughts, and I'm not the thinker of my thoughts. What I am is that in which the thought is coming and going. See, I am the blanket. I am that space in which the thoughts are coming and going. See? And like the thoughts, then come the emotions and the feelings and the sensations. If you pay attention to a part of your body, and do this with me, and again, like any other class, this is not about intellectualizing what I say and understanding what I say, but it's all about experience. So do this with me. Pay attention to your knee, either knee, I don't care which knee. For a moment, just set your attention in your knee. And as you're setting your attention in your knee, which you can do with your eyes open or your eyes closed, it's a little bit hard to define the knee, to find the edges to the knee. Your attention is set on the knee. Yet, even though you have a memory of what the knee looks like, it's a little bit hard to define the edges of your knee. As if they were nothing. Do you feel that? And your attention is there. So it's not something that is happening here, is that you drop your attention on your knee and you get to your knee and you try to define what your knee is and you can't. Because you can't tell where the edges of the knee are. Where the skin of the knee ends and the knee begins. There's no way of telling that. So the more we pay attention to what is, then the more we realize that everything is transitory, everything is changing, everything is passing and going. Our body is not the same body that we were born with. Trust me on that one. The cells have died and new cells have arisen, and you started with a body that was this number of cells. And those cells have died and new cells were born. And it's not something that happens every year. For some cells, it's every day. For some cells, it's every 20 days, 15 days, whatever. So your body is not the same body you had when you were born. It's not the same body that you had when you were a teenager. It's not the same body that you had yesterday. Some cells have peeled off and new ones are arising. Everything changes. Everything comes and goes. Emotions come and go. If you feel sadness, sadness is there. Yet 2 seconds later, somebody tells a joke, you're not sad anymore. Or you get distracted by something and the sadness is not there. Nothing is permanent, except that one that is actually watching what is permanent. So what we are is that is observing everything that is changing, everything that is moving, everything that arises and disappears. That's what we are. is that in which all these things are arising and ending and arising and ending and arising and ending. Because that's what is happening. Everything arises and dies, and arises and dies. Thoughts show up and then they disappear. Then comes the next one. Emotions arise and then they disappear. Mm-hmm. Sensations arise and then they disappear. Pain arises and then it disappears. Even pain is not permanent. Suffering is not permanent. Nothing is permanent. And as we grow older, then our ideas and our feelings and our beliefs are one thing, and then we turn into teenagers and we change them. We just don't fit with, you know, we don't want to be hanging out with our parents. We don't fit with our parents anymore, so we want to be hanging out. We try to find where we fit, right? So our beliefs change and our ideas change, and then we turn 20 and our ideas are different, and they change. And I'm giving numbers that are like 20, 30, etc., but it happens every day. Today you believe one thing, and the day tomorrow you don't believe the same thing. You change your beliefs. So beliefs are always changing. If you believe something, that means you can stop believing it at some point. So this is all about recognizing what is. This is all about recognition. This class is about experience. If we don't experience what I'm saying, then we just understand it, we just believe it. You know, I always say at the end of the class, if you believe what I said today, you wasted your time. Because the key is to find that within your experience, just like what we did with the knee. So every single word that I point you to, every single thing that I point you to, go back inside and find it. Can I find in my experience what Angela's talking about? And if you don't find it today, keep looking for it. Because I only bring things here that I can relate from experience. So if I bring it in, it's because I know it's true. And therefore you can find it too. Any questions? Hey, Kathy. Hey, Kathy.
So is the body a distraction? Like, I just got itchy and I scratched my arm. I'm like, so.
Your mind is distracting you. So the body is not a distraction, but it's very well used by the mind. And the body, actually that's a really good point. Today I'll talk a little bit about the beauty of how the body is an incredible way for us to, a tool for us to recognize where we need to look. So our mind, for example, when we do meditation, sometimes I say, if there is a sensation like itching, don't pay attention to it. Just watch it. It's there and it's gonna disappear, but don't focus on it and don't try to make it stop. Just let it be. If you let it be, at some point you realize, I'm not itching anymore. So when we start becoming more still, our mind, remember the ego that I said, is actually this movement. It requires movement. It's the thoughts and the ideas and the beliefs and all that stuff, and it requires movement. So if for any point you're becoming too still, then the ego goes, oh shit, she's going to be too still and I'm going to drop dead. So what it does is it goes. So you have to look at that and your stillness is gone. Your stillness is immediately gone. You have to start from the beginning and again become still. So it's not that the body's a distraction. Your mind will try to distract you with anything, including searching for the truth, because the truth is already. And searching for the truth is a way of distraction, because what you are, that nothingness, that space, you already are. Yet the mind will try to distract you in any way it can, so it can keep you thinking and moving and ideas and belief and anger and fight and all that bullshit that we go through every single second of our lives, because we believe it to be true, right? We believe all our other, all the fights that are going on in our head, we believe them. All the stuff that goes on in our head, you know. You see a car pulling next to you and you look at the person and go, oh my God, did that guy just rob that car? He looks like a robber. And the guy could be, you know, the president of God knows what, and it's just whatever, you know. So it's all about the stories that we tell ourselves and we believe them. The body is an incredible tool that points us to where we need to look. So when something in your body is in friction, is not feeling good, then is a sign for us to look at something that for some reason we're not seeing. Is our time to see something that we can't see. So for example, let me give you an example. When my knees hurt, and it could be just this instantaneous, like just a little bit of pain, it's like there is something that I need to move forward to that I'm not, or there is some fear into moving into it. And I just the recognition of that, of the vigilance of recognizing the symptom, because all these things happen and we're not paying attention to them. And then when you recognize there is pain, then we go into the story about the pain. Oh shit, what is going on with my knee? I'm going to have surgery. And all the shit that comes with the story, right? Because it's the pain or the symptom is comes with the oh shit feelings, right? The oh shit thoughts. When all it's saying is, hello, look at something here, okay? And then you go look at it. What is it? What is this symptom showing me that I need to look into? So every part of our body has different points us to a different area to look. And for example, the knees have to do with moving forward. All right. Did I answer your question? Any other questions? All right. So let's go back to the awakening is, enlightenment is the absolute cooperation with the inevitable. So the inevitable is whatever is happening right now. Therefore, the moment I recognize that it's happening, it's gone. It's done already. It's happened, right? So a car cuts you off. The moment you recognize that a car is cutting you off, it's happened already. It's passed already. Does this make sense? The moment I realize I was thinking, I'm not thinking anymore. The moment I realize I was itching, I'm not itching anymore. It started already. It's passed. Does this make sense? So what is happening is already happening. It's already happened. But then we start telling our stories about what has already happened, because what happened is already arising. So the inevitable will continue to be the inevitable. Now is not now and forever. It's now, because there is always change. There is always movement. There is always changing. So as now happens, is followed by another now, and followed by another now, and followed by another now, and followed by another now. But what we do is when the now happens, right, and we're moving into the next now, which is immediately, then we look at the now that just happened and go, oh, I don't like that. And the moment we do that, we missed the next now. It's happening, but we're not seeing it anymore. We're not there anymore. We're lingering into the happened that already happened. Does this make sense? Because we either like it and we want to hold on to it, which we can't, it's dead, it happened, it's gone, it's no longer there. Or because we don't like it and we want to push it away, which, again, is not happening anymore. Does this make sense? So the moment everything is happening and happening and happening and we try to grasp something or push away something, that's what suffering is. That's what suffering is. Because we took something that happened and we want to hold on to it or push it away. That's where the suffering is. And most of the times that we suffer for is because of something that we don't want. So we want to push it away. I'm feeling sad. I don't want to be sad. The moment I say, I don't want to be sad, I'm already trying to push it away. And I'm telling stories, oh, maybe I'm going to get depressed and whatever, you know. So it's the stories that we tell ourselves. Does this make sense? So the inevitable is happening constantly. Boom, 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 boom. And then the stories that we tell about the inevitable is where the suffering lies. Especially if we linger on that. So that's the... You walk into Starbucks and the guy that is the clerk at Starbucks is gives you, you know, black coffee instead of whatever, you know, coffee with cream. And you get in the car and you sit and it's like, oh! And what do you do the rest of the day? Tell me what you do the rest of the day. Your day has been ruined because of the fucking coffee. Not because of the coffee, but because of the stories that we tell about the coffee. And we keep coming back and coming back. And then, remember, this is all kept alive by telling other people, right? And the moment I tell you that I got this fucking coffee and that was not what I ordered and it's so expensive and I blah, 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 and then you have to top me. So you say, oh, the same thing happened to me 10 days ago, but it wasn't, you know, the other store, and it was worse because, and then somebody else walks in and they have to top it, right? Because we grow, we bond in misery. Make sense? So we keep that suffering alive and alive and alive. So the inevitable is constantly happening. And one point that I want to make clear is that this doesn't mean that if something happens and you need to act on it, that you don't act on it because it just happened. So there is a fine line between the inevitable occurring and us acting on things. So, you know, you see somebody falling on the street. It's already happened. It's the inevitable, right? Acting on it is something that you may choose to do, right? And if you choose to act on it, then you act on it. Another example, you lose your job. And what do? We get into the story. Oh my God, I lost my job. What am I gonna do? How am I gonna keep my kids alive? Whatever it is, right, the story. But that's the inevitable. But what I mean by absolute cooperation with the inevitable is you can't change the fact that you lost your job. You can't. Yet you have to act on things because you can't sit there and say, well, there's nothing to do. That's it. Lost my job. The inevitable. Right? Then what you do is you act on it. So if you want another job, you start looking for another job. But we don't linger on the stories. We don't hold on to the stories that come with the loss of job. Does this make sense? Because it's a very fine line in between. Our mind is not a fine line. Our mind interprets this as being a fine line. So I remember sitting, listening to my teacher, and my teacher would say something like that, and I'm like, so am I supposed not to do anything? Really? Like, what am I going to do? And it's not. It's just our mind's interpretation of what is being said. So if you need to act on something, you act on that. You can't change what happened. But then you don't linger on what happened either. Because that's where the suffering is. You can't change it. You lost your job. You fucking lost your job. Done. You can't go back there and say, I should not have lost my job because it's gone. Done. Make sense? Question? So remember that this is about always finding within our own experience what is being taught here. So when you go up, that's when the meditation starts. That's when you have to be vigilant. Because you walk out and you get in your car and life happens. The inevitable is happening all along. So when you have no gasoline and have to divert and go everywhere to get gasoline, That's the inevitable. You drive there because you need to act on it and you get gasoline, you see? But watch what you're telling yourself. This is where vigilance starts. What are you telling yourself? What's the story? What's the story that you're making? You're going to be late, you shouldn't be doing this, your spouse used the car and they never fucking fill it up and blah, 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 and I knew this was going to happen. Who are you blaming? You know, what are you trying to change? What is it? It's all about that. It's all about being vigilant, because the moment we're vigilant, then we have the ability, for the moment, we have the ability to see what really is happening and what the story is about. You know, the story, the difference between the story and what is happening. And then something that was just an idea becomes an experience. And that's where everything is. This is the recognition. It's like turning you open the door in the closet and you turn on the light. The light goes off and you know what is in the closet. It doesn't matter if the light went off, you know what is in the closet. You know. So this process is like walking into the house that is dark. Every single room that you go into, you don't know what you can't find because you can't see it. But if you're vigilant enough, it's like turning on the light in the room. And if you're vigilant enough, then there you go, the light goes on and you see what is in the room. And you can't forget that. That's not taken away. Whatever you saw, whatever you experienced, then nobody can take it away. It's not unlearned. It's always there. Maybe not with the same whistles and bells as the first time, but it's always there. So whatever you realize, whatever you recognize, is always there. Forever. And we all have kind of like a theme to our patterns of thinking, and that's our conditioning. So some of us are conditioned to blame ourselves. Some of us are conditioned to blame others for a particular reason, and some of us blame others because of the sense of betrayal or because of a sense of abandonment, fear of, or a sense of ridicule. But each one of us has a theme, which is the theme of our conditioning. And our thoughts are always colored by our conditioning. So if we go to my example of my own condition, my conditioning, which came from fear of abandonment and fear of betrayal, is the nobody can take care of me, I gotta fucking do it myself. So every single decision that I made in my life, every single relationship that I had in my life, every single thing was needed to be at a level where I get a fucking deal with myself, right? So the theme of my thoughts, which I had no idea, the theme of my thoughts are all around that, are all around nobody takes care of me and I gotta fucking do it myself, with different words. But that's the theme of my thinking, because that's my biggest conditioning. And each one of us has a main pattern of conditioning. And all we have to do is pay attention to our own thoughts, because everybody has it. It's not one person or, you know, some people. Everybody has a theme to our thoughts. So it's all recognizing. Why am I paying more attention? What am I spending my time on? Being a victim, blaming, feeling that I'm betrayed? Why is it? Because every thought comes with an emotion. Emotions are just totally attached to a thought. So even if the emotion arises and we're not seeing the thought is right there. And those are the thoughts that I call whisper thoughts, because we still can't hear them, but they're right there. They're the ones driving what is going on. So, and whenever a feeling arises, if we pay attention to what we're thinking, if we truly pay attention in this quiet stillness to what we're thinking, then bingo, one day we notice, yep, right there it is. Nobody cares, nobody takes care of me. I gotta fucking do it myself. You know? Right there it is. But I couldn't recognize it. Because I was not still enough, not quiet enough to recognize whenever a feeling arises. That's not the right word. Whenever a feeling arises, then what is the thinking about? Or whenever the thinking is going on, is translated to a feeling that I'm not paying attention. I'm totally pissed off about my thinking and I'm not even paying attention to that. I just recognize it when I walk in the room and I bite the head off of the next person that is sitting there. Oh, I think I'm a little bit pissed. I wonder what I was thinking. Make sense? So it's all about being vigilant. This is my favorite word. It's all about being vigilant. Because if we're vigilant, then all those things that we do not want to see, then we can see. We can see, and it's mesmerizing, really. It's like, nope, there's no chair next to me. There's absolutely no stool next to me. Nothing is next to me. Nothing is next to me. And all we have to do is the willingness to go like this. That's it. Yep, there is one. You know, it's all about being vigilant. It's all about being vigilant. Emotions have a thought associated with them. You're driving, a song shows up, and you get all teary-eyed. You get all sad and teary-eyed. What the fuck are you thinking? It's like, oh, this reminds me of blah, blah, blah. It's all about the thought. It's not the song, because believe me, songs don't have the power to elicit sadness. It's the story that we tell ourselves about the song. Songs don't have the power to elicit love. It's the stories that we tell ourselves about the songs. Nothing has the power to elicit anything. It's the stories that we tell ourselves about something. Make sense? Any questions?
I have a question. It's more of an observation.
Go ahead.
I've noticed that when I'm paying attention or being vigilant and there's thoughts coming in and I know they're just thoughts and I'm not running with them, I'm not getting caught up with them, there's not any emotion there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that weird?
The reason why it feels weird is because, remember, every single behavior that we have has been learned. Every single emotion that we go for has been learned somehow. So to see that all those thoughts that are aggressive in some way or pissed off or sad or whatever are going and I'm not reacting to it is like, what's wrong with me? I should be sad. I should be happy. You know, it's like walking into a funeral of somebody that you lost, that you love, and going there and it's like, I'm not sad. Something is wrong with me. It's not. It's just that it's the recognition that these are happening and I'm not believing them. That's it. You're not believing them to be true. They're just a fly. That's it. No difference. And some days we just go back and engage with them and believe them, and then we recognize, whoa, I just believe a thought. And that's fine too. Does that help?
Yeah, that's good.
Any questions? All right, let's meditate.
Not so much a question.
Go ahead.
I caught myself this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the car. I had to drive 103 miles this morning to an appointment. So I get in the car and I punch it into the GPS. And right away, I'm going to be late. I'm saying to myself, that's it, I'm not going to make it. There's no way I'm going to hit morning traffic, forget it. And I'm like, wait, what are you doing? You haven't even left the driveway yet. And I was like, what are you doing? And then I said, all right, forget about it. And I just drive, I get to the turnpike, and now there's like four lanes going through for the toll into one on-ramp because they got two lanes shut for the on-ramp. Oh, here we go. I see the cars going by 90 miles an hour and I'm sitting here and I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
So I call the lady and I said, listen, I texted her. I said, I'm just hitting a tremendous amount of traffic. I'm going to be a little late. She goes, that's okay. 10 o'clock works for me better. I was supposed to be there at 9:30. So here I am telling myself this big story, and I'm going to be late, I'm going to lose it, and it was okay.
You don't know. We have
it
no
was
idea what is going
to But I caught
happen.
Myself doing it.
Yeah.
So I was able to back out of it, so I wasn't aggravated the entire ride.
Exactly. Just a few minutes.
Yeah. Hey, that's better than being aggravated for 2 hours.
But that's
I'm getting
that's exactly you are. And that's exactly what this is about, Rich. It's about recognition of what is true versus the stories that we tell ourselves about it. Because the moment we recognize the stories, then there's no suffering. See? The traffic or being late or not being late have nothing to do with anything. Yet the stories that we tell ourselves about it is what is painful. See what I mean? That's the suffering. So that's it. That, you know, keep at it. That's it. That's it. That's what this is about. It's not about sitting in meditation for half an hour every day. It's about being vigilant every single second of the day. Because the 25 minutes of meditation of the day, you're available. It's kind of like you're saying to the blanket, here I am. I'm going to be still for 25 minutes, which is no stillness, right? So you recognize your thoughts. It's like, whoa, I was lost in thought. And then you come back. And then, whoa, I was lost in thought. And then you come back. That's what we do, but we become available. That's it. But the rest of the day, we go into chaos. We live over here in this bullshit that we have in our head. So this class is about the rest of the day, not just the 25 minutes. It's about being vigilant, because then when we're being vigilant, we have the ability to do that. While the rest of the times, we don't. And that's where suffering is. That's what this is about. This is about finding that peacefulness and that freedom that comes with being what we are. Because the moment we recognize what we are, then peacefulness is there regardless of whatever is happening. And it doesn't matter how engaged we are with what is happening, but there is always a sense of stillness and peacefulness within it. That's it. And then at the same time, there is a sense of freedom, because we recognize the thoughts and the patterns of conditioning that we have, and we don't act conditioned anymore, and we're not seeking approval anymore, and we're not seeking acceptance anymore. And if I'm not seeking acceptance, then I don't have to change who I am. Then I am free to be who I am. And that's freedom. And nothing ever compares to freedom. That's true heaven, you know? Nirvana, whatever we want to call it. So it's not about, oh, I'm in bliss for the rest of my life. That's bullshit. Because remember, life goes like this. It's about being still and being at peace and being in joy, regardless of what you are engaged with at the moment. The most painful situation in your life, or the happiest laughter. At that moment, that moment, that moment, that moment, that moment, that moment. Make sense?
And I have just one quick question.
Sure.
Going back to the example that, the quick example that you gave of the guy pulling up next to you in the car and looking over and, oh, you know, he must have stolen that car.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that a step further, and maybe that's the first thought. But then the next thought is, look at me, I'm wearing my pajamas. You know, what would somebody think of me if they were parked next to me? What's that all about?
Another thought.
It's just another
thought. It's just another thought. It's just kind of like, look at it this way. If it happens that way, then it's kind of like you are recognizing in some way that you're putting judgment on somebody. But still, it's judgment. It's a thought. It's a belief. It's just whatever. We go through, you know, somebody walks in here and everybody's going to think something different about that person based on past experiences.
Yep.
So you're going to think, I want you sitting up, actually.
Okay.
Not because of snoring, but I want you sitting up.
I will. My neck is hurting.
Yeah,
so.
That's fine. You can sit on the couch, actually. I feel that the couch is going to help you with that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's very comfortable.
So if you find, wait a second,
Okay.
If you find, if somebody walks in here, everybody's gonna think something different about that person based on experience, based on lengths of experience from the past. So you make a statement and you tell a whole story in a split second about what that person is, right? The moment you say, I'm judging that person, look at me, I'm wearing pajamas, what are people gonna think? It's another thought, right? It's another story. But at some moment, you recognize the judgment on somebody else, the story that you're forming. So somebody walks in here and everybody's gonna think something different. When I walk in a public place, everybody's gonna think something different about me. Everybody. Can I change that? No fucking way. Because is their right to think whatever they want about me? It doesn't matter how nice I am or how bitchy I am or whatever. Everybody's gonna think something about me and I can't change it. But recognizing when we think and create stories about other people help us, because then when anybody meets somebody, what you meet at that moment is not them. It's your story about them. That's the person that you're relating to at the beginning. But if you recognize that you just made a judgment, then that story is no longer there. And then you have the opportunity to meet what that person wants you to meet. Because remember, it's all about that person is looking for acceptance. And we look for acceptance as well. So until we just are not looking for acceptance, we will have a pretend face. Does this make sense? Right? We all pretend. And they are pretending. And we fucking believe it, but that's another story. So we're pretending, and we believe what we're pretending, and they're pretending, and we believe what they're pretending. But if we can pay attention to the stories that we're telling ourselves about them, then who we meet is not my story about them, is what they are showing me. And then if I'm vigilant enough, I can see what is true and what is not true of what I'm seeing at that point. But that requires that absolute beautiful stillness to be vigilant. That's the stillness that comes from, you know, when there is a storm, when there is wind, and the branches are all moving and the leaves are all moving, you can't see a squirrel jumping from this branch to that branch. But when there is a stillness, then you can see the squirrel jump from that branch to that branch. Make sense? So it's all about stillness, because when there's stillness, then you can see everything for what it is. You can see those things that normally you would miss.